Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to On the Rise, a podcast about female college tennis players on the way up. On the Rise serves compelling stories and unique voices in women's college tennis. This is your host, Perry Scheinen. In this episode of On the Rise, I will be speaking with Stanford freshman Catherine Huay, who won the 2023 U.S. Open Juniors as an unseeded player. Catherine became the first player since 1982 to win a junior Grand Slam and go on to play college tennis. This past summer, Catherine reached the finals of the Billie Jean King National Championships in San Diego. Welcome to another episode of On the Rise podcast. This is your host, Perry Scheinen, and I'm joined today by Catherine Huay from Stanford Women's Tennis. Catherine, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining tonight. And I know it's a chaotic time for you, about to leave for Stanford. You're going to be a freshman. But first, we want to talk about, why are you late to packing?
I just got back from U.S. Open a few days ago, so I'm very behind.
And not only that, but you won the entire U.S. Open girls tournament. What did it feel like to lift that trophy?
Honestly, I was kind of in shock during the moment. So obviously it felt amazing, but it honestly hasn't even sunk in yet. I think I've been thinking so much about going to college. I haven't really had the chance to think too much about it, but it was such a good feeling. I'm just so happy that I ended my junior career like that.
And you were unseeded. You run through the draw without losing a set. How did you keep that momentum going?
I was really confident in my game, and just this year I knew I put in a lot of work building up to it. So I think things kind of clicked and I was able to execute it well. So I think that was a really, really big part of my success.
What is your biggest strength on the court? What would you say?
I think my footwork and my timing. I think I like to take balls early and like to move in, but also can play defense. So I think that's one of the things that makes me stand out, I guess.
You're an all-court player as well, from what I've seen. And I feel like that's going to help you so much once you get to the college ranks, where obviously the girls are hitting this high-quality ball, but you've already conquered juniors. How did it feel to end your junior career with this win?
That was a really big deal, and getting to win on my home courts in the U.S. was amazing. And honestly, the tournament, I didn't have too many expectations. I had a lot of belief in my game, and I knew I could win it. But I just wanted to enjoy the moment, and it being my last junior tournament, just make my younger self proud too.
Did you always dream of winning this tournament?
Yeah, I think I remember when we were 11 or 12, they told us to write clear goals, and I put specifically to win the Junior US Open, not even Junior Slam. I think I just wanted, and I obviously at that time, I didn't believe that I could, but I was just like, I might as well write this down.
And it came true.
Yeah.
In general, was there one specific moment at U.S. Open Juniors when you felt especially present or feeling like, hey, I'm here and this is my last hurrah?
I think just walking to the court, I think it's a pretty long walk to each court. So every time I would get a little bit time to think. And I always listen to the same song. I listen to Long Live by Taylor Swift because she's my favorite artist of all time. Really?
Yes.
I love her. I went to her Eras tour.
I'm so jealous. I didn't get tickets.
But I got really lucky. I convinced my teacher during a test for me to keep my laptop open so I could get them. But yeah, I ended up getting them. I almost cried after I got them.
I would have. I cried because I didn't get tickets. I can't even imagine how emotional I would have been if I did get tickets.
Yeah, it was definitely by far the best night of my life. And I know I won US Open, but that was just not comparable. But yeah, I listened to Long Live by Taylor Swift. I really liked the chorus, and I just kind of was like thinking back on the memories of junior tennis, and that would happen every time I walked. So I think I kind of like channeled my energy and just really thought about making the best out of my last junior tournament.
And you had the privilege of playing Jeannie Bouchard in the US Open main draw. You got into that qualifying draw because you finaled at San Diego at the Girls Hard Court Nationals. And what did it feel like to walk on the court and see Jeannie on the other side?
It was really crazy because I remember I had watched her Wimbledon final when I was younger, and I always watched her matches because I do love the way she plays, how she steps in and takes everything early because she's not too big of a power player, and I feel like I'm the same way. It was really, really cool just to have her on the other side of the court, but I also was a little disappointed because I don't think I played my full level, but I think that helped motivate me the next few weeks to train for juniors.
And you talked about in your US Open press conference after you won the girls' tournament that you owe a lot of this title to Jeannie. In what way did that loss shape the next 2 weeks in New York?
I think it really changed my mentality, which was the most important thing, because obviously I knew that I was capable of winning, so I had a lot of expectations based on results rather than how I wanted to play or the process just in general. So I became a lot more process focused and positive about the whole outcome, and I really enjoyed my matches during juniors. I think during that match I was a little overwhelmed on grandstand too, and I didn't have a clear mind. So I think the shift in mentality helped me, and it was just motivating. The next 2 weeks when I was practicing, I was really fueled by that loss. So yeah.
And what did you do after you lost that qualifying match? Because you have a little bit of time before the girls' tournament starts. How did you stay focused?
I was on site every day after that. I was able to extend my credentials so I could still practice there. I was a hitting partner for some of the pros, so I was able to play sets with... I played sets with Peyton Stearns and also Kayla Day, so that was really good for me just to see the level.
How cool has it been to see Peyton, a former On the Rise girl as well for us, but how cool has it been to see her rise up through the ranks so quickly after she was a champion at Texas?
Yeah, I think it's amazing. I think it's so encouraging, and she's such a great advocate for college tennis. So I think that's just encouraging for everyone to see, and hopefully people can see more that college isn't like more of an obstacle, but it can also help you get better.
And I do want to talk about that hard court final. Did it feel like a lot of pressure playing in juniors when you knew that you had a chance then to play pro?
I always have the mentality of an underdog, I think, in every tournament. I wasn't seeded high either, so it wasn't like expected that I was going to get that far anyways based on the seeding. And I think I always knew that I was going to go to college. So having that in the back of my head just made me play more freely. And sometimes I do like adding a little pressure on myself because I feel like I perform better.
Did Billie Jean King hand you your finalist trophy?
Yeah, I talked to her a little bit. I don't know if she handed it to me, but I talked to her a little bit after because she was giving some tips to me on my serve.
What did she say?
She was just telling me about my toss and my contact point, but it was really funny because my dad came up to me after and he was like, "What was she telling you?"
Very cool. How did it feel to have her watch you play?
It was so cool. I mean, obviously she's just kind of the creator of women's tennis, so it was really cool to have her there, and I really appreciated her tips for me on my tennis.
What does it mean to you to see the growth of women's sports, and specifically the growth of women's college sports?
I think women's sports are so entertaining, and especially tennis. It's not dominated by a big three, but it's like new people playing every time. There's so much emotion. And I think Coco had more views for US Open final, and I think that was really cool.
And what was it like playing right near Coco and hearing those cheers?
It was really cool, obviously. I was rooting her on while I was playing, but I didn't know the score or anything, but I just heard really, really loud cheers, so I assumed that she won.
That is so cool. And so you're the first player since 1982 to win the US Open girls tournament and then go to college. How has college tennis evolved in your eyes?
I think the competition has gotten so much stronger in the field of players, and I think it's really great how they have rules where you can leave to turn pro and come back and eat time on scholarship too. So I think that has really changed the game. And just being around so many hardworking and motivated girls is a really big thing for me, and I'm so excited to do that. So I think there's so many players that played in college that are doing well on tour. So I think it's really, really inspiring for me just to see that.
And so how has preparation mentally for Stanford been going?
It's been good. I think during New York, I wasn't thinking too much about school just because I wanted to really focus on my tournament. But now I'm completely in school mode, so I'm getting ready. And I think I'm going in with obviously a lot of confidence, and I love my teammates, so I'm just so excited.
And so what do you think you'll want to study?
I'm not sure yet, but I'm leaning more towards this management science and engineering class that's more business oriented.
And you were originally committed to Princeton and then changed to Stanford. What changed on your end?
My head coach that I committed under at Princeton left. So Laura Granville, I really look up to her, and she's a great person. And I think a lot of things changed as well. Just, I think financially and just tennis wise, it was the best decision just to go to Stanford instead. But yeah, my head coach left, and that was a really big disappointment for me.
I totally get that. I mean, head coaches are such a huge part of our college tennis experience. What helped you reframe college tennis in your mind, and why did you stay committed to that route?
I think I always planned to go to college at least for a year. I thrive well in that sort of environment too, just having other things that can define me as well and not just focusing on tennis. So I think that was a big thing, and I think college will be a really good stepping stone for me to mature and develop my game. So yeah.
It's really smart that you have that approach. I know that you did get injured, and during that recovery process, how did you find yourself off the court?
I was really struggling during that time because it was my first injury and it was a major one. So that was really tough for me, and it had gotten to the point where we were just looking to go to school just as a regular student. I mean, my parents just told me to start taking a harder course load and everything just to see. But I really love art, so I did a lot of painting during that time. And I don't know, I think I just kind of did some other things, and I realized that my identity wasn't just in tennis, but also I think coming out of that injury period, it made me want to play even more and just grateful to be able to play healthy. And I think that really stepped up just my mentality about tennis and perspective. And obviously since then, I just thought I had to go to college just because anything can happen, really. So you always need some sort of backup too, or something to fall back on.
Can we talk about art for a second? So I was an English major at Brown, and I always have been deeply involved in the arts to get away from tennis in a way and to find another escape that's still creative. Do you feel like art informed your tennis at all, or vice versa?
I think it definitely has just helped me. It's like a good mental space for me to kind of release my emotions, and I just feel so at peace in any form. I mean, I went to a few pottery classes, and that was like so relaxing for me too. Just any form of it, I think. And it also, I think, improves focus because I'll just be there for 6 or 7 hours at a time. And yeah, it's just been a really big part of my life. And it's also made me realize, like, nothing has to be perfect. Like, I'm going to make mistakes, but everything can be beautiful no matter what.
That's very poetic. I love that. And you graduated valedictorian in your class. So in a way, you could have gone wherever you wanted without tennis. How much strength does that give you?
I think it gives me confidence, and Stanford is my dream school. So anyways, even if I had just been a regular student, I would have loved to go there.
And now that you are in college, or will be in a few days, what are your goals on the court for this next year or even next 4 years?
I definitely want to turn pro either during or after college. I'm aiming for 1 or 2 years, depending on rules too. I don't know if Stanford joins ACC, but I think the focus will just be developing my game. I don't have too many goals that are purely results. I think if I stick to my game, I will be able to get there. There's some things I need to improve, even from this last tournament, that I'm really excited to work on. And then obviously winning an NCAA, though, would be really cool with my team and individually.
Stanford has countless NCAA titles and such a storied history of winning that tournament. Have you dreamt about that moment of perhaps lifting the trophy with your teammates?
Honestly, no, I haven't even. Now that you said it, I literally just got goosebumps. But our team is super motivated this year to win an NCAA because our fifth year, Angelica, I think so far she hasn't won one. And I think she would be the only one in program history not to win a national championship with a team. So we're just like so motivated just for her and just because I feel like our team is really close. So we're really excited to have a shot at it this year.
And the USDA has recognized you multiple times for your sportsmanship. What does it feel like to be inspiring that next generation of the young female athlete that steps on the court and wants to be like you?
I'm so honored to have even received that. I'm always a huge advocate for sportsmanship because growing up, I was pretty shy and I was taken advantage of a lot of times. And a lot of times in this sport, especially since it's individual, it's so easy to cut corners. So I think just being a good person too matters so much. And I feel like good things come around. So I'm always telling people that. My name is Catherine Huay, and I am on the Rise.
This has been an episode of On the Rise, a Tennis Channel podcast in partnership with Behind the Racket. It's produced by Molly Getman and Lyric Bowditch. Join us next time to continue our conversation about women's college tennis. This is Perry Scheinen, On the Rise.